Our spring picnic is at hand. We'll have it today, starting at noon, and we'll start serving lunch around 1 o'clock. So I'll hurry up and get through this so Brenda can go home and make banana pudding. Just raise your hand when I need to shut down. There's something I didn't explain to you about the authority structure with regard to the pastor teacher. All right. We shouldn't have fun. This is with a Christian life. Okay. Dealing with the verses that we are considering here, in 14 and 15, 15 and 16. Notice that Paul recognizes that, and the reason he uses this contingency thing, you'd say, well, I know it's all working for good. Not if the individuals involved aren't doing what they're supposed to. All things work together for good for those who love God. That's the key. Loving God, of course, means doing His will within a given set of circumstances you suddenly find yourself in, whatever they are. Even if it's something where you've done wrong, like Onesimus, it is doing the right thing now. Yesterday was yesterday. Doing what you're supposed to do in a given set of circumstances that have fallen to you. That's the key. So, anyway, Onesimus's temporary absence from Philemon then becomes the backdrop for God to establish a new beginning between Philemon and Onesimus that is permanent. And here we have a case, again, where Onesimus has done the believer Philemon grave wrong. But the equation changed when he got with Paul and got his head back on and started applying Bible doctrine at a high level. His past failure is covered by the grace of God, as with all of us, so that he can be reconstituted spiritually. As someone gave me, and I will borrow it, an analogy. Onesimus, before his departure from Colossae, was a foot soldier. He was a member of the Colossian congregation. Okay? He comes back a warrior. He comes back anew. Not just new, back way I was, but better than ever and on a higher plane as a result of his affiliation with the great apostle Paul while Paul was in prison. So, in all these things, God is the ultimate subject behind the event. God is the Lord over humans. As in the previous class, God allows people to do what they want to do. That's so obvious. That we call people in the world and people in general outside the directive will of God. They're running under the permissive will. And some of them are doing real good. You know, seeing them on the surface, they're prosperous, they're successful, they're this, they're that. They're operating under the permissive will. The rich, the poor, everybody in between. They're operating under the permissive will. They have opted not to get in the directive will. That's what we call negative volition. I don't want the truth. I'm not interested in the truth. I don't want that. So they're not seekers. They're not in the truth. But then there's a third category called the overruling will. That's where the day of shock comes. Usually associated with their death. Onesimus ran under the permissive will, got back under the directive will, and becomes a better believer than ever for that experience that he set up by his own misdeed. But the secret there is volition. I'm going to get my act together. And this time, I'm getting it together better than ever. So if you're going through something bad, it is not the end of the world. You're disappointed because, you know, a relationship went to hell, blew up. It happens. You aren't some exception. Bad things happen. We're in the world. People have sin natures. People don't do what they're supposed to do. I know I'm a pastor. They don't do what they're supposed to do. They don't do what they're taught. But I take solace in the fact that's all I can do. But you have to be here and hear it. That's all I can do is teach. Study, teach. Do some shepherding. I don't think that's my strong suit, but God backs me up. He's always backed me up. When I've had to deal with people who are twisted or whatever they are, I try to grace them out. It's an Onesimus. I'm trying to help you. If they don't want to be helped, then I can't do anything about it. But quit this woe is me and it's the end of everything. It isn't. It's a new beginning. It's an opportunity. God's doing this for your spiritual growth. Okay, it got your attention big time. He gets our attention from time to time. Big time. And the idea is to move to a better level, to a higher level spiritually. No, we're not just treading water. We're mountain climbing. Oh, we're not going up there. Oh, Jack, hey, we ain't going there. We're going there. But I won't say it that way. You can do it. Follow the shepherd. There's a real nice pasture up there. You'll like it when you get there. Or you don't. You run off, follow some other guy, stay home. It's the way it's always been. The way it'll always be. So Philemon, now in order for this to all, the perhaps part, I want to nail that down and I'll go on. The perhaps part in Paul's mind is it's in Philemon's ball court. It's in his court. Perhaps this will all work out. But if Philemon does not receive him back in the fashion and way Paul is directing as his spiritual leader, then this isn't going to work. You are to receive him back, and of course that verse 16 makes that clear. You're not just to receive him back. Okay, I'll take you back, but I'm not gonna. And here we go. He's a new person. He is on a new level. Think of it that way. That's what he had to think about. So receiving Onesimus back represents the fulfillment of the divine plan. It's going to go full circle. And Paul sent him back. And he didn't want to, but he sent him back. Because he was a terrific asset for him in prison. And we can only imagine the kind of things that he did for him. I can imagine some people be jealous of that. But here we have a slave, an apostle, and a slave owner, an owner of a well-to-do estate. That's what we have here. And they are all believers. And they are all, at this point, very, very positive and adjusted to what they need to do in the angelic conflict and how they need to serve God. God blessed Abraham. He blessed Paul for a season with Onesimus. He blessed him. God brings people into our lives as a blessing. He did it for Abraham with his right-hand guy, Eliezer. God's looking out for positive volition, the good kind of positive volition. Not the flaky stuff, the good stuff, the quality stuff. And he'll do that for you. Yeah, you may take some raw deals along the way, but from people. We all have, perhaps. You get some raw deals from some people and from some believers. But you remember the story of Joseph. God sees you. And he sees the mistreatment. He sees it. And you've got to humble yourself in the meantime under it, because it was 13 years for 13 years for Joseph to live like that, away from his family, a slave, okay, a promoted slave, and then an inmate, and then ruler of all Egypt. Now that's a phenomenal story, because he didn't abandon the truth and say, doctrine doesn't work, here I am, all viable believers on the earth hate my guts, or at least don't like me very much. But he never lost his connection. For all the abuse he got up there in Jacob's house from his brothers, and the neglect, and Jacob didn't stand up for him. Jacob didn't stand up for him. He's the head. He didn't stand up for him. I'm out of here. No. That's stupid. That's where the truth is. We have a destiny. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. And those brothers of mine have a role to play in it. Turns out they're the heads of the individual tribes that we call them to this day. Their names, get that, will be on the New Jerusalem, inscribed. 12 of them. Even the ones you go, there's Mr. Weak-Kneed Reuben, who's always trying to please and see what he can get out of it. He's kind of a manipulator. I got to get him. I did something really bad. Now I got to, I tried that stunt. I got to get back in my father's good graces. So he's the one who thinks that he can play games. I want to shine. So I'm gonna. He tried to rescue. Not in a good way. For approbation. Not because it's the right thing to do, to get his daddy's approval. There's those type people. They play games. They want attention. They want recognition. And they keep trying at it. Instead, just serve God in the humblest of circumstances and don't worry about the rest of it. But they've got a mission. His name will be on the New Jerusalem, along with that of the 12 apostles. People love to have their names on buildings and stuff, don't they? They're written in big letters up there. The city we're going to live in forever will have the names of the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs of the tribe of Israel. Talk about the grace of God over it all. His brothers were believers. Oh, and they had camaraderie, but it wasn't in the truth. They had camaraderie and let's go drink and hell raise and have fun, be good old boys up there while we're pretending to take care of our dad's sheep. Well, we'll take care of them. We can't just let it all go. They weren't sticking to business. And Joseph was the only serious-minded one of them in the bunch, and he's a kid. This 17-year-old kid, when they did this dastardly deed to him, when they threw him under the bus. How can you do that to your brother? Okay, you don't agree with him spiritually, obviously. And that cute little doctrine of, here's the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. And they'd see that nice suit of clothes his daddy bought him. And that would further, it's like a red flag in front of a bull. There he comes with that nice set of clothes. He was, this is so weird. He's his dad's favorite. But when it comes to the doctrine, he's not so good. People are strange. And so are the times. And circumstances bring out the best or the worst in you. Circumstances brought out the best in Onesimus. Failure brought out the best in Onesimus. Because of what he had deep down inside him. And circumstances will bring out the best in Philemon. We don't have to argue about Paul. He's adjusted to his circumstances. He knows what he's about. The question is, at this point in our narrative, the question mark is, what is Philemon going to do? Well, we already know, because we know that we know we're dealing with someone with exceedingly high caliber. But he's expected to rise up in his pattern of applying towards others now takes on a special characteristic in the case of Onesimus. The verb might receive back, 16, so that you might receive him back on echo. It's a verb which means to receive in full. And you'll notice it's in the subjunctive, which is the mode of potentiality, hence the word might. So that you might receive him back involves the volition of Philemon. 17. The verb might receive back has a technical sense of receiving full payment in monetary transactions, as per Philippians 4:18, where Paul says, I got the entire offering you sent. Nobody pilfered anything out of it for traveling expenses. 18. Applied here, it refers to the full and unconditional reception of Onesimus. Note the contrast between for a while and forever. He was gone for a while. We're going to receive him back forever. You're going to receive him back forever. The temporary separation and the angst it caused will now be overshadowed by a renewed relationship between the master and his slave. 21. To have him back forever refers to a relationship that transcends earthly relationships, as the next verse makes clear. 22. This is what Paul means as per the title, beloved brother. Note Colossians 4:19. And with him, Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. And verse 10. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have fathered in my imprisonment. 23. In verse 16, Paul explicitly articulates the relationship that should prevail between these two individuals in their reunion. 24. You may have back is here in verse 16 given further definition. No longer as a slave. Now again, this is the lowest level of the social order of Roman times, a slave. No longer as a slave points to a recognition of the reality of the social order, but is tempered by the words, but more than a slave. You need to look at him through this lens. He's a slave. He's still on your estate. Will still have assignments. You will feed, clothe, and shelter him, all things they did for slaves. But he's a slave. But he's more than a slave. This acknowledges the relationship believers... That should have messed up there. This acknowledges the relationship believers have in Christ, whereby there is, through union with Jesus Christ, all believers are in union with Christ. And in Jesus Christ, these kind of distinctions do not undermine the privileges that we all have in Christ. Through salvation, we're entered into union with Christ. It's a sphere. Just as we are in this room, bracketed by the four walls, believers are in a spiritual union with Jesus Christ at the point of faith in Christ, the point of salvation. This union guarantees you a lot of things. And we study that. Some of the things are automatic, that just because you're in Christ, you've got it automatically. Nothing needs to be done to maintain it, sustain it, etc. You have eternal life. You can't be kicked out of union with Christ, like some teach. We're not one of those. You can't be kicked out of union with Christ. You can fail in Christ, and you will, and you sin in Christ, but in Christ you have rebound, if you want to use it. First, you got to learn it. How to get back in fellowship. In Christ, you have your royalty. The list goes on and on and on. We share His destiny. It guarantees us at some point down the road, we're going to get a resurrection body just like Jesus Christ. And we're all going to be 35 years old forever, in perfect condition. A resurrection body that is not subject to any of the woes that this body in this world is subjected to. It's bulletproof. Forever. So, no category of humanity, what they are in the temporal realm, affects the blessings of being in Christ. In Christ you have a spiritual gift or gifts. You identify that through growth and intake of doctrine. You figure out what your spiritual gift is. And you don't walk around and say, well, I'd like that gift. No, you accept it. That's the one He gave me. He's sovereign. Okay, you have all these things in Christ. In Christ is all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We're trying to tap into that through the study of the Bible. Because we have in Christ the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. What does Jesus think about? Fill in the blank. Let's go to the Bible and figure it out. Otherwise, it's hidden. Now, all these believers in Christ don't know this because they're not tapping into this. They're not pursuing this like it mattered. In Christ, we have the promise of eternal reward. Things that God is going to give to those that qualify at the award ceremony. The judgment seat of Christ. In Christ, every believer has available to them the prize, the ultimate award, the one that transcends all other rewards that you could ever imagine temporal. This one is the top one. What all does it consist of? Well, one thing, prestige. You also will have in your resurrection, but you don't get it until you get your resurrection body. If you die today and go to heaven, everyone in heaven, they didn't get the reward yet. They don't have the resurrection body yet. You've got to have your resurrection body first. I've noticed that enjoying things in the temporal realm requires an overt body. It's a real deep observation, I know. So to enjoy SG3, you have to have a resurrection body. This one wouldn't do. Couldn't handle it. And what God has for those who love Him, and this is the key. Oh, these people love God. Don't tell me this story. Are they on doctrine? Are they learning the truth? Do they articulate the truth? Oh, the truth doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. Christ says, I am the truth. Name the topic. Not just the Savior, He is, but He, I am the truth. He embodies the truth. He's about the truth. In Him dwells all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It gets into us as we grow and incrementally as students of the Word of God. Or not. If we cut that off, we still have these other blessings in Christ, and all these believers will get a resurrection body. They'll be limited in rewards, if any. If this is what you're shooting for, then you're in the right place. If you're shooting for the cosmos as priority, then that's what you'll get. Maybe. That all depends on a number of factors. If you're after the cosmos and the things of this world, and that's your MPR, most pressing responsibility, or you just want, I just want. There's nothing wrong with just wanting. Just get in fellowship and pray about it. You come to Maranatha Church, you've got to be expected in your lifetime, you're going to go through some things on the glory road. Your faith is going to be tested. Your feet are going to be put to the fire. And you never know when, and you never know the circumstances. That's why prayer, keep your armor on. Don't react. Pray. You'll be all right. You don't do those things. You just sit in Bible class and nod your head. Then you're vulnerable. We all are. I always tell myself, you need to pray more, Jack. You need to pray more. Pray without ceasing. Not just over your food and a few other items or when you get in a jam. When things are going real good. Uh no longer as a slave, points to a recognition of the reality of the social order, but is tempered by the words, but more than a slave. Look at him as more than your personal property, as a slave, as a human being. Look at him as something above that. So this acknowledges the relationship the believers have in Christ. Neither slave nor free, Colossians 3:11. More than, beyond, more than, the preposition who pair with the accusative, does not deny the reality of the temporal status of Onesimus, the slave of Philemon. More than does point to his status as transcending Onesimus' present status in the world. Whatever your present status is in the world, male, female, this, that, that's a temporal state. The eternal state, this will not be carried over in that fashion. Some aspects will. You'll still be a male and a female. We won't be androgynous. Thank God. The two competing realities are both fully recognized by all parties. A beloved brother serves to set the tone for how Onesimus should regard, Philemon should regard Onesimus. As Philemon is beloved, verse 1, and as he has consistently expressed his love for all the saints, verse 5, compare verses 7 and 9, he is urged to continue his reputation in his treatment of Onesimus. Step up and apply it now. Lots of things may be enjoyable or easier to apply. Occasionally it gets one that's more difficult. This love is to transcend all that has transpired. 33. The fact that slaves were considered aliens within a household. Can you imagine having a household with actual slaves and how would you regard them? We tend as humans to regard people based on their past and, well, they did this and this is this, and this factors into our deal. BS. Not if they're a positive, adjusted believer. That's irrelevant to me. I don't care what they did. I don't care what their scary past was or what their failure past was. There again, a lot of people don't know that if they're positive today and they end up in good shape, perhaps this all had to happen for them to get where they're at spiritually. Perhaps they had to be drugged through that. You didn't. They did. The fact that slaves were considered aliens within a household is drastically altered by this sibling language, beloved brother. You know what? If you have a close brother and he's beloved to you, and your brother's in arms, you're close. A lot of brothers aren't close, particularly. They're just brothers. But some are very close, very tight. That's the relationship that Philemon is to establish with his fellow believer. Expanding on his relationship with Onesimus, Paul urges Philemon to rise to the occasion and follow Paul's example. The words, especially to me. You think I'm a nutcase? He's special to me. He's a special person to me. Yes, in our short history, and it was a short history there, the time he came to me and the time I sent him back, that was a short history, but it came together just like that. Because everybody's functioning they're supposed to. So, especially to me. But how much more to you? Is a superlative comparative combination. If Onesimus is most important to Paul, he is to be even more important to Philemon, precisely because he is Paul's own son. See, this whole thing works. I'm sending you my son. I don't think a lot of people could get that. I'm sending you a person that is a dear friend. I'm sending you someone that is a son to me. Not in the flesh, but a son. And I regard you as you regard me highly, so you regard him. How about that for a transition? The last he had with Onesimus was real bad. And all of a sudden, this transformation, and he's expected to embrace this fellow as a fellow beloved believer. Yes, we have different niches. So what? But we can sit around and have a cup of tea and have fellowship. And I don't have to treat him like, oh, those are the slaves over there. We'll hobnob with them once in a while just for good public relations. Say, how are you doing? How's your wife? How's your kids? How's your health? No, this is different. This is two people who come together in time and who have a really close relationship. He couldn't have that with all of his slaves because they are the caliber of Onesimus. Onesimus has been transformed by this experience. This painful experience has transformed him. And he's got a better slave. He's got something better than a slave. He's got a category 2 friend. 3 friend. 2's marriage, sorry. He's got a category 3 friend. God made that all happen, contingent on the volition of individuals. The assumption is made explicit in verse 17. The contrast between in the flesh and in the Lord completes the thought of verse 16. We know what is in the flesh. You're in the flesh. I relate to you. You're in the flesh. But we're all in the Lord. That's the thing to be factored in. Both expressions are to be taken with beloved brother. Beloved brother, in the flesh, in the Lord. That's what I mean there. Beloved brother, dear brother, in the flesh and in the Lord. Both expressions are to be taken with beloved brother. Okay. The one points to the temporal relationship within Philemon's household, where Onesimus would continue to function as a slave however long. The thought here is that Onesimus is to be treated as a beloved brother within the realities of the household of Philemon as well as the household of God. He's an equal member of the royal family of God. Treat him like a member of the royal family of God, for crying out loud. Don't treat him as somebody based on the knee-jerk, well, he did that. Or he's had this background. Who do you think any of us would be? We're all royal family. And we're all the same status. Now, we're not all at the same level spiritually. But somebody from a tainted background can come roaring ahead spiritually. Well, why is all this good stuff happening for them? Because they've got their act together and they're praying and they're living the Christian life. And they're doing what they're supposed to do. God doesn't say, I can't with that one. She used to be a prostitute. We got a couple of those in the Bible. No, don't we? How would the ladies in the royal family know if they knew about that background? How could you do that? See, that doesn't cut it with God. He doesn't look at things like that. He looks at how you are now and where you're at now. That's why I'm not impressed with the rich people. Basically, they're obnoxious. Not because they're rich, but because they're arrogant. And this is their God. And they go to the same grave as anyone else, and they find out there's the same eternity, and that God is no respecter of persons. And no, I'm not impressed with you, because he isn't impressed with anyone. And all these people that run around and try to please men. You don't have to please men. Please God. You be cordial with people. Be nice with people. But when they act like jerks, don't extend basic cordiality, don't submit to them. This is you may not understand what I'm trying to get at here. There are some people that are just that way. I get vibes from people. Body language, vibes. Out in public. This guy isn't being respectful. And he's running a business. Or he's an employee in this business. He thinks he's something special. Or something's going on here. So I'm curt with him. This is what I want. This is the product. I don't. No. You figure it out for yourself. The thought here is that Onesimus is to be treated as a beloved brother. 42. In conclusion, Paul is concerned with helping Philemon to receive Onesimus as an equal in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Bless our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.